getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, what's going on? You've got the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Clint Scott, Chris Sneed, Brendan Riker behind the glass. That is your paid employee, BPE, taking care of us. We're live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with you with the mobile app. Brought to you by Happy State Bank. 3 full hours with us as we take you all the way up to 3 o'clock. Have you been thrown off at all from the post-Memorial Day weekend of knowing what days it is?
I always get jacked up by that. I saw BPE Sunday. No, Monday. Monday at the local big box store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you say hi or did you run?
Yeah.
I
was driving by and
I said that
we
looks,
made eye contact.
We made eye contact. I said, that's BPE.
We've got lots of stuff to get into today. Hour number one, of course, we'll have a play of the day. At 12:30, a money play of the day, 12:45, a Wednesday edition of Kaylee's Dailies. We'll get into a little bit of Kansas State baseball talk.
Yeah.
You wanted to really address this, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
The Texas Rangers.
There could be, if you're here for it, there could be a potential rant. Hmm. I mean, there could be. No. There's going to be a rant because – Pete Hughes is a clown.
Man. Texas Rangers are good. They're playing
now. By the way, they're good.
By the way, they are
best
good.
Record in best start in franchise history, 35-19. Best start in franchise history on a pace to win 100 plus games this year.
How surprised are you at this point with this season?
Hold on. I got to go get the forklift to pick my jaw up off the floor right now because I just didn't want them to finish last.
Right.
That's really kind of how I was at. Don't finish last.
It wasn't baby steps type moves that you've made with your roster over the past two seasons. But if you were looking, just get better than what you have been. Just be, sniff the playoffs, at least. And then we'll talk. And right now, instead, you're the second best team in the American League. You are in a division that I think is very friendly to you and what you're going to be able to do and hopefully what you will do if you're a Rangers fan. You had Josh Young, who's still leading, if you're following power rankings for rookies in the American League. By the way, he launched a ball yesterday, padding the lead in another win, winning the series against Detroit. They're going for the sweep today.
I just got something on the Sneed line that was like hilarious. Uh-huh. Okay, I'll share it with the world.
Please do.
So I get this off the Sneed line here. It says, imagine the Olympics, but instead of being world-class athletes, it's just random people who get selected. So, like, you get a letter informing you, Clint, you've been selected for the national gymnastics team, and you just have to go do it.
Sounds more like the Hunger Games.
Yes, it's like you have to go do it. You're going to be a sprinter.
I have seen this idea, and I have always wanted this to come to fruition. Not all the way where it's everybody, but just have one normal person in every Olympic event so you can truly, especially like kind of the odd events.
Well, no, that maybe you're not even that.
And I want all of them. I mean, I want to see a normal guy in the 100-meter dash.
We have the world-class athletes, mm-hmm. and then you have, not making fun, you have the Special Olympics. Then why not just have the regular people Olympics? And just really, literally, luck of the draw. I mean, it's like a lottery. It's like everyone's names in there. It's like, all right, here we go. And now for the javelin is Brendan Riker.
depending on like how excited the person was that they were drawn for something,
yeah,
this turns into the Olympic version of one of the greatest television shows of all time, Pros versus Joes.
Oh wow.
Which speaking of that, I say a little prayer every night that show makes a comeback.
Well, you know, Pros versus Joes was just a knockoff version of American Gladiators.
Sure, and I like that one too.
Did you watch that last night?
I haven't watched it yet. Oh,
it was greatness. I was saddened because I got my time zones wrong, mm-hmm. and so I was getting set up to watch it. I came in at 8:08, and I was like, I missed the first 38 minutes, but it was great.
Man, that. And all the shows in that vein, whether it's the original American Gladiators, the re-upped American Gladiators, mm-hmm. Pros versus Joes, the re-upped Pros versus Joes, all of that, man, there's always that one guy that turns into an everyday villain.
Yeah.
Because you get the introduction, and when he's like, I played 2 years JUCO baseball, and I'm here to show exactly what the athletic world is missing. I don't care if it's nitro, if it's steel, if it's calf champ, whatever. Whoever steps up is going to get knocked down, and they suck.
They get worked.
They get blown out of the water.
I like watching like 50-year-old like Lawrence Taylor just freaking dog smoking this dude. It's like, okay, dude. Because it's the guys that run their yaps that get smoked the most.
Yes. And I don't know what's better. Like, who was it? Was it, I'm forgetting the Spurs guy that was like a six man for him that would go on Pros versus Joes kind of the second time. And I loved when they'd have like Goldberg or they'd have dudes.
Real dudes.
I appreciated it more when they had like reserve guys from the professional sports.
Hey, still by tearing the way, them up
because they got even more trash talk.
Yeah, because, by the way. Guys, if you play in the NBA, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay. I would take in a pickup game. I would take the 12th man off of any NBA team, and go out there with any other guy, and we would win a 3-on-3 contest.
There was a video that was going around there for a while, and I have no idea how it started. But a guy that gets a lot of flack.
Yeah.
Who played in the NBA, Brian Scalabrine.
Yeah. You know what?
The White Mamba.
Yeah. The White Mamba. Brent Scalabrine can play basketball.
Two-time college champion, White Mamba Brent Scalabrine. Yeah. But all he did was move slow, sit in the corner, and play very limited defense. And so he got a lot of smack talk. And then all of a sudden, this one-on-one pickup game, with an average guy who was a, rec league superstar, it just got smoked. And it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And I loved every second of it.
Yeah. I mean, I played old man league with a guy who had just been like 1 year out of pro ball. And this guy pitched like 10 years in AAA. So this is a guy that didn't even get to the big leagues. And, and this guy would come in and carve people up at the end of the game. We'd play 7 innings. We'd bring him in the 5th. And he would probably throw 26 pitches from the 5th inning to the 7th. Mm-hmm. And we would win. I remember the first time a guy got a hit off of him. It was like 3 years into playing with this dude. First time a guy got a hit off of him. And it was that guy celebrated going around first. Mm.
If you could do an American Gladiators game, not just because like, I'd be really good at it, but you just wanted to try it, what would you pick?
It would probably be that one where you have to throw at the target while they're shooting the tennis balls at you. That one where you get that garbage little thing right there, that little Nerf gun that you're trying to You get one shot. Here's your tennis ball. You have to throw it up at him. That's like pointless. And you get really close, but those guys get really close too. And they have like 38 shots at you.
The great thing about like the original American Gladiators, so that of course aired well before I was alive. But when I was growing up, that was like my sixth day, my sick day television.
After Saturday Night Live.
Oh, man. Dude, that's a show, if they still put it on as reruns now, and I kind of hope they do with this 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Like, you don't remember what happened. I would watch them all again fresh and just be just as entertained.
Probably.
Those used
to come on after Saturday Night Live, so if you were watching it on Saturday Night, you were kind of a loser back then. So
Brennan wants to take you in the giant Q-tip thing, running the pedestals.
Whack, whack, whack.
It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score. More next.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. Get us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Thank you for joining us. Clint Scott, Chris Snead, BPE behind the glass taking care of us. Snead, there are six Big 12 teams who made the NCAA tournament. One school that got left out that I would label as a surprising year feels like they have been wrong. Now, they were right there, and anytime you're in that on the bubble left out stage, like if you're the Oklahoma State of basketball this year, you're going to find an argument, right? Sometimes valid, sometimes mockable. You said this could be rantable. Now, head coach Pete Hughes is upset, and this was his statement following the Cats being left out. The Division I Baseball Committee and the system failed K-State, our program, and our seniors. It was obvious that the committee overemphasized the RPI, a flawed metric. The regional disparities of the RPI are glaring and still were used as a tool to form, shape, and make decisions. The most important criteria that has zero gray area is head-to-head competition. It's definitive. Someone wins and someone loses. We were left out in place of two teams that we finished ahead of in overall conference play, and also two teams we beat head-to-head. Why play the games if the records are not valued? When did we stop rewarding winning? It's inexplicable and disappointing. Our players and community deserved better. So, the two teams he's obviously calling out there, Texas Tech, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Your response, Chris Snead.
You know in 2015, what Texas Tech's record was? It was 31-24.
Okay.
You know what Tech's record on Tuesdays that year was? It's 2-6. You think if that was 6-2, maybe it would have changed some things? Tech's RPI was better that year than their RPI is like 55. Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't a team above 48, other than the automatic qualifier in Tulane. That team they ought to be upset with is Tulane, because Tulane flat out stole your bid. And by the way, you weren't the first four. You were in the next four out. Mm-hmm. You were in the first four out. And in order, you weren't the next team in. You were the third team in.
Mm-hmm.
So you still got two other teams. Arizona State should be more upset than you right now at Tulane. You shouldn't be upset at Texas Tech. Sorry, you beat us 2 out of 3 at your place. You know who you should be upset with? Lamar, because they beat you on February 2nd, 4-3. Mm-hmm. You know who you should be upset with? Omaha, University of Omaha. By the way, is Lamar in the tournament? No, they're not. Omaha, who you lost to 7-6 at home.
Mm-hmm.
They're also not in the tournament, by the way. You should be upset with something called St. Thomas University. I think it's St. Thomas College. Because you lost to them at home. I think they're NAIA. Or they're D2 or something like that. But you lost to these guys 2-1 at home. And by the way, you were getting beat 2-0 until you salvaged a run in the ninth to make it 2-1. Pete, you lost to Air Force at home. Sorry, you were at Air Force. But you still lost at Air Force. You lost to Air Force 18-13 in a football game. You both missed extra points. You lost to Nebraska. Nebraska is god-awful. And you lost to them. You got smoked by those guys at home. And you want to complain about your conference record? I'm not worried about your conference record. You should worry about your midweek record. Because your midweek record is the reason you're not playing in the postseason, Pete. That gave you all those losses you had on Tuesday gave you a garbage RBI, which kept you out of the tournament. So if you want to complain, you lost to Wichita State twice.
Mm-hmm.
10-4 and 2-1. It's a good thing they canceled the Cal State Riverside game. You'd have probably lost to the Highlanders too. Jiminy sakes. And you want to complain? How about you don't go 0-2 in the Big 12 tournament? Jeez.
Well, they did get one win. It was against Kansas.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Beat the worst team in the Big 12.
That doesn't help.
By the way, you dropped a series to Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Shimony six. Hey, how about you talk about the games you lost and not the games you won? Yeah, I know you beat us, but our RPI was a nice, smoking, robust 41. Not 55, that garbage RPI of yours. Give me a break, Pete.
So when you look at Kansas State's schedule, the way that it is set up, you know what it says to me? It's a team that is surprised that they were where they were in the Big 12 standings. Otherwise, they would have scheduled tougher opponents. And they just didn't do that, and there was no effort.
Here's their non-conference. Okay? They started with four at SFA. Mm-hmm. SFA's awful. Then they went to Lamar in Beaumont and lost. They did sweep them. They came and they played LSU, Sam Houston State, and Iowa. Guess what they did? They lost all three of those. They went now, and they're on a, at this point in this season, they're on a four-game losing streak. And then they went to Omaha and lost there, too. Then they came home and played the Toynton Family Stadium tournament against Army and something called Stonehill. I'm not sure what Stonehill is, but they did sweep those guys. Then they played Youngstown State. And then Creighton, and then they got into Big 12 play, in which they promptly dropped the series to Baylor right off the bat. And we knew, what did we know about Baylor? Baylor was terrible.
I think it's rich complaining about RPI when you didn't set up your season to help you because you weren't expecting to have a season like you ultimately had. And even then, it wasn't all that great at the start when you were playing these terrible RPI. And look, schools do this. We've seen Texas Tech play slappies, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's you schedule stuff. And like from a Texas Tech standpoint, look at Gonzaga. That was supposed to be a great schedule.
Yep.
A great scheduled team,
it's a
right?
That's a regional team. In fact, I think a super regional team
and
last
it,
year.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Show me the team that Kansas State scheduled that was like that, where they thought, well, that's going to be a great RPI team.
No.
And it
SFA?
Ultimately wasn't.
No.
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 You didn't set yourself up for success.
Now,
right?
I give them, they went to the Round Rock Classic and they played LSU, Sam Houston, and Iowa. And Iowa probably was a team that helped them out the most out of that deal. Because LSU was pretty good. Of course, they lost all three.
Yeah, I was going to say, they went 0-for there. Yeah. I just, on one side, if I'm a player, if I'm a fan, this is what you want to hear from your coach, right? Like, you want to hear something sticking up for your guys, but...
No, I don't want to hear this. If Tim Tadlock said this, I would have been, I'd be like, oh, facepalm. No.
Really?
Wine bag. No. No. I mean, and people were, I heard someone say, if Texas Tech was in Manhattan right now, we'd be doing the same thing. Hold up on that there, car wash. 2015, we were them. And we weren't saying this. Because Oklahoma State, who finished behind us, went to a, they jumped right over us and took Oklahoma State. And we were all saying, our RPI is terrible and our midweeks cost us this.
Let me reword. I want your coach to stick up for you, but you have to be aware of which direction you're attacking. And he's attacking something that has blind spots on his schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And this just shows, again, this just shows me that they were not expecting to be close to making a postseason berth.
Well,
and they were on the line. That and or... because now they look back and they go, to me, that you did this to yourself.
I mean, you played, this is a, from a college baseball standpoint, even before the season starts, you look at this schedule and go, this is a garbage schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their premier home series was against Youngstown State. That's the premier home series they had this year.
And maybe this is going with Kansas State too. I don't know. They're looking at the Big 12 and going, well, we'll get help in conference play. And you didn't get as much something Texas Tech experienced with the Big 12, with it just not being as elite. But still, if you want to help yourself, you help yourself in the non-conference. And if you want to attack the RPI, it tells me that you knew the system of how you get picked, and you didn't play it.
Yeah, if you don't lose to St. Thomas. Don't lose to Omaha. Don't lose to Lamar.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know what else to tell you, man. Don't lose to Air Force. Don't lose to Nebraska. I mean, show me the midweek team that you guys lost to that you go, oh, well, you can understand that one. No. Mm-hmm. No.
And even then, go to the end of your schedule. Now, this is you just taking care of business where you are in line fighting for that playoff berth, fighting for that postseason berth, and you blank the bet against TCU, and then you do it again in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were a team that you knew headed in probably needed to do some work, and you did none.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You could have made this a moot point and made TCU the team that was your spot by just winning that series.
But you didn't.
You did not. Sorry about you. Mm-hmm. And then you turned around and played TCU again, and they shoved it right up your hindquarters. Made you like it.
Yeah. It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. We'll be right back with more next.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Matt Estensen, Brendan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. We'll get to your Deion Sanders question here in just a moment. We'll circle back. First, we're giving you some Big 12 football times that have been announced. The first five games for Texas Tech have been announced now. So if you are looking for them again, you're starting off your season at Wyoming. That is a 6:30 start time on CBS. Their primetime game to get going for the Red Raiders, September 9th. The week after that is Oregon comes to town. That is a 6 o'clock kick on Fox, Big Fox. September 16th, your Tarleton State game. That'll be ESPN Plus, 6 o'clock kick. So, three evening kicks to start off your season. And then a 6 o'clock kick again against TCU. That'll be a Thursday game on November 2nd. That'll start Big 12 play for you. That's on Fox Sports 1. And then the last one announced is your game at Texas, which is on ABC at 6:30. So a lot of evening windows that you'll be a part of early. And to me, this is, so I mean, you look at Texas Tech coming in as a probable top 25 team. If you do win those first two games and you start your season 2-0, I project you to be in the top 10 pretty solidly as far as jumping up in the rankings. And as we've talked about before, for college football, especially the AP, like those top 25 rankings are sticky and friendly to teams that start there. But I also think that when you look at some of the windows that you've been grabbed for, is projecting that you will be a marketable team to these networks, because, and some of it's who you're playing, like that Texas Tech at Texas, I think is looking a lot better, because that's potentially two teams fighting for a Big 12 championship game slot as far as when the end of the season comes here, but I think all good and all a telling sign of your marketability from a network standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, and I think you hit it right on the head. I think if you teams that start out the season jumping undefeated 2-0, 3-0, they seem to have a lasting effect in the top 25. It seems to be much harder when in I think when you just look at Tech schedule, I think the game that's circled is Oregon, right? The second game, but my fear is sleeping on Wyoming as we roll in. You got to brain it that week, and you can't overlook that, because Oregon's a big deal, right? Big game, big atmosphere. You know, the buildup is already starting for Oregon, and that's kind of a scary thought when you look at it, because we still have to get past Wyoming.
Well, yeah, and Laramie is not going to be an easy place to play. I think the biggest thing is that you're starting out on the road. And although it is a group of five school, a Mountain West school, I mean, it's not, you're not playing a team that was, you know, 4-8 last year and is just a dumpy of a team. It's a solid Wyoming team. And I don't think they will. You'll still be the favorite and you should still win that game. But I mean, I 1,000% agree. If you go into Laramie and you were to overlook that,
could be
and
a
you
mistake.
Were to be focused at Oregon, that could spell trouble. I think that this won't, I don't think Texas Tech will blow out Wyoming. I think they could, but I don't think they will. I think it'll hang around like a 10-point win, if I had to guess. And again, this is partially, too, like still knowing that you have a bunch of returners and production coming back on your team, but not knowing what this version is going to look like. The other side is not looking. Wyoming could be worse than average. This could be end up being a dumpy-type team, and you just don't know it yet. Or it could be a team that is taking steps, and they return a lot from their defense. That's kind of what this Wyoming squad's known for, the offense. The quarterback play certainly did not light it up for the Cowboys last year. They do return their starter, some running backs in there. But it's not a team that just flashes on paper, and it's not one of those schools that just frightens you from the group of five. But at the same time, the biggest factor is it's week one and you're on the road, and that's something your on the road version of Texas Tech needs to be better than what it was last year.
Yep, needs to be better. And then just like I said, just the mentality of, like you said, in week one in college football, we've seen it, anything can happen. And that's probably that goes probably across the board for most sports. Week one, you don't know really what your foundation or what your team's going to produce. You don't know what the other team is. You can read about it all day, but until you get up there and you get going, I just hope that you know the Red Raiders aren't overlooking, because I know the Oregon, like I said, that game is already building an atmosphere here up in Lubbock, and everybody's really excited about it. But you got to take care of business over there, and then you know set your sights on the Ducks.
And I don't think they will be. I think that's the strength of Joey McGuire, is not letting the next opponent beat you the week before.
Keep your eye on the current prize.
I don't think that's in his makeup. And really, when you look back last year, it wasn't even questioning the preparation. It was just in-game focus. The only game that I questioned that from last year's outings, even though you didn't win every single game, was the Baylor game where it was just, I mean, you were close, but ultimately Baylor beat you by a lot, and it just looked like a mess defensively. But as far as overlooking opponents that you shouldn't be, I just don't think that will be the case. But at the same time, not an easy game there in Laramie. We get this as a question on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. CBS or CBS Sports? That game against Wyoming is slated for CBS. CBS. Again, if you missed it, Wyoming 6:30 CBS, Oregon 6 p.m. Fox, Tarleton ESPN Plus 6 p.m. 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. That Thursday night game against TCU will be on Fox Sports 1, and at Texas 6:30 ABC.
The disrespect to Tarleton having to be on ESPN Plus.
Well, that was that was the one you could have, like, the easiest. Like, what I should have done is I should have just listed these games and had you guess. I give you the time. And you guess what network they're on, and the one you would have nailed would have been
Tarleton.
Yes, that's what. I'm sorry to disrespect Tarleton State.
It's okay.
They're not going to overlook them, though.
Matt, are you a Tarleton State alum?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a cousin that's going to go to school at Tarleton this upcoming semester.
I don't expect week three of Texas Tech football to be much of a struggle. I think Tech will probably take care of business.
Are you going to be wearing the purple and white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wear the nice polo. But like I said, I mean, that's one of those games. You know, I grew up here in Lubbock. I've always, you know, wanted Texas Tech to succeed. I've always rooted for them. And so, yes, I graduated from Tarleton, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'd like to see Tech do well. I mean, that's just how it is.
If you're rooting for Tarleton, I don't think anyone's going to hold it against you. Yeah, well, it's not exactly the hostile.
It's not a threat, right? Yeah, it's not like, hey, he's a Tarleton guy.
It's not the hostile rivalry from some of the other schools in the
Big. Oh, it's a rivalry. It's a real deal in-state rivalry, Clint.
I think you should paint your face. I think you should go all the way in.
Maybe a sports tattoo on the face like we talked to one day. Yeah. No thanks.
You just get Tarleton right across the forehead.
No, I'm okay.
So quick circle back. So you had a question about Deion Sanders, and we've all known the massive turnover, way different approach than you have ever seen at Colorado. And you asked.
Just a different approach in general. Like, how would you feel if that was, you know, the Red Raiders or the Jayhawks, if somebody just came in and said, hey, we're removing essentially the whole team from 2022.
So if it's from, like, do I like it standpoint? No, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But again, like, this can only work, this sort of turnover, in a coach year one with the rules. Like, he can't continually do that after his first year coaching. So that's part of it. And so the question of, well, is he going to keep doing this? No, because he can't, unless he goes to another school next year, which I wouldn't assume would be the case. Because Colorado knows, like, what they're bringing in there, even if it is a absolute mess in year one, like, they're still getting eyeballs, and that would be, to start talking with the Big 12, Deion Sanders, the report was he had to be on board with it. So they're in, from a Colorado standpoint, They're in with Deion for the long haul. Now they're also expecting positive results. So, do I like it? No. But do I think it can work? Maybe. I don't think I'm as big of a doubter as some people.
Do you think it seemed? Do you think he only gets away with it because of who he is? Like what, you know, what Deion is to the sports and football world?
Give me another year one coach that has the brand and the name power to do that and even successfully turn the roster over in the first place and on paper get better players.
Yeah.
There's not one. There's not one in existence right now.
Yeah.
Unless for some reason Saban left Alabama and went somewhere else because he was like, you know what? I'm tired of winning all of these championships and all these games. I think I'll go over to the Pac-12.
I think I'll go to Tarleton.
Yeah. It's the bottom line, 100.7 the score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 the score.
You got us on 100.7 the score and 107thescore.com. When Scott, Matt Esteson, Brendan Riker behind the glass was on the short end of the stick and take versus take today, ran out to a 1-0 lead, but then dropped the next two.
Matt, would you like to share with our audience what we discovered during the break off air?
That I can balance a cup on my head?
Well, we can share that, but what he just said about a minute ago?
What part?
He said he let you in.
I don't remember that, do you?
No.
Yeah.
Now, this is a mutiny.
Mm. A one-man mutiny? That's Brennan. I'm a one-man mutiny. No one can stop me except for the rest of the crew.
Look, I know in today's world, if you try to convince yourself you didn't lose, you can just stick with that story forever. But
hey, I told you a good game. It's not the fact that I lost. It's the fact that Clint let you win.
Clint didn't let him win. He just went and won, and the judges agreed.
It's not my fault that I slid a $10 bill to Clint. Okay, I'm a Patriots fan.
I'm mad now that
Texas Tech's fault that you slid Clint that $10.
I didn't know that was an option. I don't have $10 now, Matt. Where's my $10? Speaking of that, we asked who would you switch places with for a day. Shelley said Chris Fowler. That'd be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
See what all like the game day stuff is.
That would be a good one. That was a great answer.
Maybe not like right now, but if you could pick the day that you did it, like wait till a Saturday in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
This on the chat line. Clint got it wrong, given the king talk. You should have given it to the short king. You have one supporter out there, Brennan. I'm sure you have more than that, but for take versus take specifically.
See, that's where this mutiny comes in. You never know.
It's a movement. Bullfighter says, you're right, Matt. It may be with the $5.99 games, but at least it's more expensive than all the junky NBA games. It's actually not. It's really expensive to watch some of the non-regional NBA games.
Yeah, and we both
which
know.
Is not a plus. That's not a positive if you are interested in it.
Oh, well. I didn't respond to that one because we both, well, as a video game player, we both know that that is factually incorrect. 2K games are super expensive.
Scott asked us this question, so I will open it.
I saw that.
For discussion. How many games will Tech win in the postseason? So I'll start. You guys tell me if you agree or disagree. I think it's two. I think you will beat UConn. I think you will match up with Florida, lose to them. You will probably face UConn a second time, and I think you will beat them twice. I just don't think you're getting past Florida. I don't think you're going over by any means. Like, you're getting at least one. But my guess and my feeling is that you will get two. Now, this is a case where, you know, you're a high three. They're a low two. The separation is not that much from a seeding standpoint. I do think you will probably get UConn playing at their best, but whenever... And I'm not going to pretend to be a Husky baseball expert, but when I look at the two teams, to me, you are the more talented team. Now, you could say that about a lot of your losses this year, that you were the more talented team, And it's not always the more talented team that wins. It's, you know, if you have a high ceiling, how close to it are you? And you haven't been that for a lot of series and a lot of games this year, unfortunately, if you're the Red Raider baseball team. But I think especially my guess is it will be Molina out first, and I think he will take care of business. And I think that UConn doesn't have a lot of depth at pitching either. I don't think anyone in this regional does. Even Florida, like, they're just a really solid all-around baseball team. That's probably undervaluing it, but their arms just don't scream that they have a dominant guy. But I don't think you're getting past them. I don't think you're getting past the Gators. I would be surprised if it was anybody but. But yeah, I think you go 2-2.
I don't have much expectations for this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Tech fares well. Heading into the regionals, I just don't. I think throughout the season, when you look, I think there's been a lot of struggles playing away from Lubbock. So I might be wrong, and I might be going way off, but I don't think we get a win at all.
At all? Like, not even,
no.
I mean, against Florida A&M?
Assuming.
If you lose Florida A&M, it doesn't matter who you have on the mound. That will be
I just think that, bad. Like I said, I think away from Dan Lawfield, I think there's been a lot of struggles, and the team's already been pretty inconsistent throughout the season anyways. So I think sticking to the question, how many wins will we get, I would go with none.
Brennan?
I have Tech going 1-2. Drop your first game.
Mm.
You'll go to the elimination game, and you'll win it. And then by that third game, you're just kind of out of it. Because I don't see them the max amount of wins I think they'll have this weekend, if any, is 2. Because I don't think you can get to that third one. You have not been able to get a third win in the same sort of consecutive setting, i.e. a series, all season long, or for a conference, because obviously you started the season on an 11-game win streak with Gonzaga and Western Illinois and all of them. But once conference play hit, you never swept a series. There was times where he won more than 3 straight, but it was in between different series. So in this regional setting, I don't think you can win 3 games. But I hope I'm wrong.
Listen, what you think on the Yates, Florence, and Jalen? So 3 different answers, 3 different feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little PSA, if you are switching over here to, because if you're listening to us, you wouldn't be listening to Double T 97.3. If you have just switched over to figure out what's happening, we're doing a little work on the tower. So if you have switched over from listening to the Rangers and you've heard the call drop, we will have that back up and running as soon as possible. We get this on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. The Rattlers of Florida A&M are worse than Kansas or Baylor, by and large worst team in the tournament. I say borderline 0% chance they beat us. That's where I lie. I mean, if that did happen, that would be just, you talk about worse ways to end a season where you make, for any sport, where you make a postseason, that would be that happening to you.
Well, think about last year. Who did you play in that second game in that Statesboro Regional? I can't remember who it was, but it was a lot closer game than you probably would have wanted to for a game, your game to elimination game.
That entire regional was interesting because you were worried about pitching all year long and harping on it. And it was it was UNC Greensboro, and then you beat, you know, a good Georgia Southern team there as well to face Notre Dame a second time. But for all of the qualms and or I guess all of the worries and fears of that, your pitching absolutely showed up to Statesboro last year. So who knows? Maybe you'll have a maybe your arms will just be incredible in this regional and everything comes together. Who knows? I guess you have to play it to find out. That'll be on Friday, game 1, 10:30 a.m. against the Huskies of UConn. You can hear it on Double T 97.3. But for now, we'll be right back with more of the Bottom Line. 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. When Scott, Matt Esteson, Brendan Riker behind the glass, you can hit us up on the 8th Floor and Center chat line. It's that time of day where I give you the opportunity to tell me that I am wrong. I always like to do that, right? It's fun to say you're wrong to anyone.
Yeah.
Some more than others, you know? Who's the last person you flat out said that they were wrong about something? Are you confrontational?
Some would say.
Some would say? So that's a yes.
I like to debate, but I try to be open-minded. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not one of those people that if it's you don't see it my way.
Mm-hmm. Then it's the highway. Yeah. Right? So you're going
to
say.
But you'll also, once you get to know me really well, once I say, hey, you have your opinions, I have mine, that's pretty much me in my mind saying you're wrong and I'm right. But I just try to say it really nice. I do like to debate, though. So it just comes with the territory.
Brennan's not confrontational.
I am not confrontational. No. Honestly speaking, if there's disagreement, I may speak up a bit. But I'm kind of the person that's like, okay, you know what? You do you.
I'm easygoing. Like, if we're in a group and I'm the only one that don't want to do something, I'll still do it. Like, I'm not
Unless
that kind
Wii
of confrontational,
sports,
but like,
then.
Look, if it's Wii Sports and we're all, I'm going home.
Yeah. He's gone from non-confrontational to chair shots in the back when we turn around.
Yeah, no, not confrontational like that. I do like to debate sports and all kinds of stuff in life, but no, like, confrontational to me, like I said, if there's all of us are going out somewhere and y'all agree on somewhere, I'm not going to be like, well, I don't eat that food. I would find something to eat at the restaurant kind of thing. Like, I'm pretty easy going.
I want to go to the SEC.
Okay.
Matt, Brennan, and our fine listening audience. There is a debate that is currently going on, and that is from a schedule format argument. Now, the commissioner, Greg Sankey, has apparently privately made his preference for what the format should be clear to his members. And from a support standpoint down the line, it has been pretty split down the middle. Now, it's you come out that interesting that Saban, the side that he's on, let me give you the layouts. What they're deciding between is basically a 9-game schedule or an 8-game schedule. With the 9-game conference schedule, each team will have 3 annual opponents, then rotate the other 6 games. For the 8-game schedule, there's just 1 annual opponent and rotating the other 7 games. To me, I am all the way Team Sankey because he wants this to be a 9-game format. Saban, surprisingly, is on the 8-game format. One is all SEC, toughest competition, it's bridge champions. That's not what he sounds like, but this in this case it is. The SEC, if they don't go to the 9-game schedule, one, will be leaving a lot of really interesting eye-drawing football off the table. And the other side, if the conference where it just means more, it's a little soft. Actually, it's really soft to go for an easier route. Now, they have been the kings of playing patsies in like week 12, week 11. And I know we've seen this before, like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't Texas Tech have Tarleton State on there. Yes, but the SEC will do that twice, sometimes 3 times. And we have made fun of Baylor for a long time of how soft their non-conference is, how Charmin pillow soft their non-conference tends to be. And it's to get to help get to a bowl game. And I understand what the strategy is behind it, but if you are an Alabama, if you are a Georgia, if you are an LSU, especially when it comes to what will be this determining basically not for the 4-game playoff, but the new 12-game playoff that's coming. You're saying that the almighty Alabama is scared of playing an extra conference game? That just tells me that
you know, it's the SEC and the pride of it. It doesn't matter who we play because week in and week out, it is a tough slate. But we'd also like it, you know, if we just kept it to the Vanderbilts and Missouris and we didn't have to play, you know, an extra one with an LSU draw. The other side of this, too, is if you go to if you just go to one fixed opponent, something, if you're looking for a positive of Texas and Oklahoma leaving, you are confining them to just being their fixed opponent. And now for years of not seeing A&M and Texas go head-to-head, it's still not going to happen every single year because it's not determined that way. Alabama will have two of its three rivals. I'm assuming they would stick, I would guess, with Auburn?
Yes.
Probably not guaranteed to see LSU Alabama every year. Probably not guaranteed to see a Georgia. You're not going to see Georgia Auburn every year. With the way that it has been laid out, if it is taking away another opportunity for an SEC game, all of these interesting matchups, and I'm not trying to hype up a conference that's already hyped up, which it deserves it because they kind of won a lot of championships, kind of have a lot of hardware from a conference standpoint. You are taking some intrigue away in the world of college football if you go to eight games.
So two things with that. I think that as the conferences, which they appear to be trending in this what direction, they're going to get bigger, right? So some of these games that we want to see year in and year out aren't going to happen. Two, I just need him to be quiet. Just play who they put in front of you. That's kind of my thing. I don't the conference, yes, if you're looking to stick with your Missouri and your Vanderbilts to get the easy wins, I understand that because as a head coach in college football and in any sport, you get judged off what? Your wins, right? Mm-hmm. College football, you get judged off your wins and bowl games. So you essentially want the easiest road. So I'm not mad at him for complaining because that's he just wants the easy road. I mean, if you have the option to play three gimme wins a year or you have the option to play three top 10 teams a year, I mean, that could make or break your season. So, and I think we're starting to see the Alabama top dogs, which we are seeing it because now it seems like Georgia's that way, but you're seeing the window get smaller of, hey, Alabama's dominating the scene. I mean, it's gone, essentially. I mean, now you got Georgia that's running it. So I think teams are getting closer to being on a level playing field, which hurts Alabama.
So I guess to go to the official statement is I think Greg Sankey would be right if he had to step in and really, really hardcore steer a decision to the way that he wants. I think he would make the right one personally going a nine-game conference schedule. Right or wrong?
Right.
Brennan?
I think it's right. My biggest issue with this is Alabama and Georgia should not be needing four non-conference games to get into a bowl. If that's what they're worried about, then that's bull. I don't believe for one second that Georgia and Alabama are going to struggle to get into a bowl game year in and year out. Now, it is interesting that they're, you know, you talked about how you only get one protected game out of the year, and that takes away, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, or fill in the blank of whichever SEC rivalry you want. But it does keep things fresh because there are quality programs in the opposing divisions. And again, I don't think Alabama and Georgia should be scared of not making a bowl game. And no one wants to see Alabama play Chattanooga in the middle of November.
And again, and it's not for them, like that's more of like the Vanderbilts of Missouri as far as making a bowl game. For them, it's been, hey, this one extra game could make or break our one spot, maybe two spots, depending on the year, for a four-game playoff. But that discussion goes out the window. 9-3 SEC teams are going to make this playoff consistently.
Yeah, once you have the 12-team playoff going into effect, I think you would be shocked to see Georgia and Alabama not in it every year.
Yeah.
No matter what the schedule is.
Yes.
Even if they use the, you know, the three consistent SEC teams, the rotating six and three non-conference, you're going to you would that's a safe bet you would take to Vegas all day. Hey, Georgia and Alabama playoffs this year, next year, and next year.
So, yeah, it's like if I said year in, year out, let's say for the first decade of the 12-game playoff, before the season even starts, if I go over under 2.5 SEC teams in the playoff, you're going to hammer the over. That's free money you're leaving on the table.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah. So, anyways, I hope they make the right decision. It's the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.